Our scripture lesson this morning is taken out of the most famous sermon ever preached by the most famous person who ever lived, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And these words come near the end of his masterful Sermon on the Mount. And there's a reason why they're here, and we'll be reflecting on that. As we read these, I would invite you to put yourself in the crowd on the mountainside and let Jesus, who first spoke these words, who lives today, who is with us here, let Jesus speak these words to you. Matthew 7, verse 7 and following. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He and she or she who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." And now he illustrates the generosity of the giving father. "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" This is the word of God. My theme this morning is simply, yours for the asking. Yours for the asking. I am giving you this message this morning for two reasons. Number one, because this passage changed my life dramatically. And it became a foundation stone for spiritual growth for me. So foundational that I'm just delighted and always looking forward to the opportunity to share with others what I think can be, and it's God intended to be, a foundation stone for all of our lives. It happened in my second year of ministry in a small church up in northern Michigan, a Christian Reformed church where I was pastoring, preaching a series of sermons on prayer. And the text I was working on that week was 1 John 5:14-15. You may know it. It goes something like this. "This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know what we have asked of him." That's pretty profound, but it became even deeper for me and more meaningful for me as I began to unpack the Greek language, as we're supposed to do and taught to do in seminary. And when I had finished that, it came out a little differently. It came out saying, this is the confidence we have when we pray, that if we continue to ask, there's a Greek present tense there, which means go on doing it. Continue to ask for ourselves. That's not apparent in the NIV also, but it's there in the Greek. If we continue to ask for ourselves things in accord with his will, things he wants for us, then he hears us. And when I looked up the word "hear" in my Greek dictionary, the translation for the word "hear" was agree to grant. So I put it all together, and here's what it said. Elvin, if you ask continually for yourself something that I want for you, I agree to grant it. Whoa, that's pretty powerful. Lord, where do you want me to start? Where would I? How would I discover what it is that you want for me? What's in accord with your will? And so I began to think and look through the scriptures, and he led me to Romans 8:29, where it's very expressly stated that it's God's will to conform us to the image of Christ. And And it was like the Holy Spirit came back to me and said, yeah, Alvin, that's one of those things you can pray for. If you pray for it continually, it'll happen. And so I started praying for it every day. And guess what? You wouldn't be surprised. I began to notice that God was doing some things in my life to conform me to His will. They weren't always fun or pleasurable either, but most of them were. Wow, this is good. I better add something to this list of asking for spiritual things, things He wants for me. And so I had a couple more things, and I began to pray for those regularly. And wouldn't you know it, God began to answer those prayers. And so my list got longer and longer. It kind of became the foundation stone of a spiritual journey. And I'm so excited about that concept that I wanted to share with you this morning. There's a second reason, though, that I want to share this, and it's this. As I worked with the denomination home missions for 14 years, doing a lot of writing, teaching, preaching on prayer, I began to discover something else. Very, very few believers really understand the importance of praying for themselves and asking for the spiritual riches God offers, the things He wants us to have. What I began to notice was that so much of our prayers were just, God, help me here. God, fix this. Give me that. One of my friends calls it a fix-it list. And another writer says, we're trying to turn God into a major 911 system. You know, whenever things go wrong, then we talk to Him and we ask Him for His help here and ask Him for His help there. And He's kind of he's just a wonderful need meter. Well, we should be praying for those kinds of things. But they needn't dominate our prayer lives. Now, I think what Jesus had in mind when He said, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, He was saying what should be dominating your prayer life is asking for spiritual riches, asking for the many, many, many good things that I want to give you. And because it is so minimally understood, I thought, what a great thing if more and more Christians began to focus in on the kinds of things God wants to give us. So for those two reasons, I wanted to preach to you this morning on the theme, Yours for the Asking. But as we start, and before we get into the outline, there's one more thing I want to say, and it's this. Let's not forget that this is not a message just about primarily about prayer or even the gifts we might get through prayer. This is a message about God. His goodness, His generosity, His power, His greatness, His glory. The one who makes this promise, Jesus, has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. Let's remember as we go through this whole message this morning that the God who's made this promise and the God to whom we speak when we ask these things is almighty. And He is all wise. And He is everywhere present, right here this morning. And you, when you drive home and when you're back home and you're at work or whatever, He's always there. And He overflows with love, wanting you and me to have the very best. So let's keep our focus on the one who has promised to deliver when we ask. So let's jump in. And the four things we'll see flowing out of this passage are, first of all, a command, ask, and then a promise you'll receive, and then a reminder of the giver, how much more will the Father give good things, and then the gifts, the good things that He's going to give. So first of all, we'll talk about the command, which flows from the mouth of Jesus at the end of this great Sermon on the Mount. And it is a command. We do need to ask and seek and knock. In the Greek, it's there in the imperative. I am so impressed with what John Calvin said about this. He said, and I'm quoting him, God doesn't promise to give us anything which He does not also require us to ask for. Wow. Don't expect to get wisdom, insight, or understanding from God without asking for it. Don't expect to get love, joy, peace, patience, and all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit without asking for it, Calvinists say. Don't expect to win the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil without asking for it. I think Calvin is quite correct. God makes a lot of promises to his children, but he doesn't dump his gifts on us. He wants us to consciously talk to him and ask him for his gracious release of those gifts into our lives. And when he does that, we know the source. We know the God who gives them. So it is a command. The second thing, it's a command to pray and ask continually. And that, again, is embedded in the Greek language, the present tense. Continue to ask. And I like the way the Heidelberg Catechism underscores that when it says, in answer to the question, why do Christians need to pray? Because God gives his grace and his spirit. Now notice those are the spiritual realities we're talking about. His grace incorporates all of the gifts, and his spirit is the one who delivers those gifts. He gives his grace and his spirit only to those who pray continually and ask him for those gifts. So, if I haven't prayed or you haven't prayed for spiritual gifts of this type that he wants us to ask for this week, maybe we're in a state of disobedience. Think about it. Why does God want us to be asking? I mean, he knows us. He knows our needs. He surely wants us to have all these things, these blessings, these riches. Why doesn't he just give them to us? I think the answer is this. He doesn't want to be a vending machine. You know, it's like you get something out of a vending machine. All you need is some coins or a credit card. You plug it in, you push a couple buttons, and you walk away with what you wanted. God doesn't want to be treated that way. He wants us to come as his loving sons and daughters, recognizing that he is the source of all spiritual riches, and with tender hearts, in faith and love, asking him for them. And as we ask, and then we see him beginning to deliver on his promise because he loves us, and the love bond grows. He didn't want to be a vending machine. He wants a love bond with sons and daughters, and that is developed as we come and ask and receive, and he gives and blesses. That's the point. So there's a command, and there's a command that we do it continually. And then we see very clearly in here the thing that I've so often have missed when I went out and did prayer conferences and met a lot of people and talked about prayer, was that we are challenged here to ask for ourselves. Easy to miss it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and who will find? You. Knock and the door will be open to you. Yes, he is challenging us to pray for ourselves. But you say, that's a little bit selfish. Shouldn't we be spending a lot of time praying for other people? Shouldn't we be praising and thanking God? Well, yes, of course. But not forgetting to pray for ourselves for the riches that he offers. And there's a good reason he asks us to pray for ourselves. He wants to bless us so we can be a blessing. That's what he said to Abraham, you remember. I'll bless you so you can be a blessing. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for doing his will, building his kingdom, accomplishing his will. How are we going to do that? When we ask and receive the kinds of things that will mature us, develop us, strengthen us, encourage us, guide us. Apart from him, we can do nothing, Jesus said. But also, all things, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, if you want to be a valued servant, to advance his kingdom, accomplish his will, glorify his name, ask. And that's what will make you ready for that. And there's one final thing to say about this command, and that is it comes with increasing intensity. We can easily miss that, but you know, it starts out with just ask. But then maybe you need to go beyond asking and you really need to seek. And if asking and seeking aren't enough, maybe there are times when you really need to keep on knocking. You see, asking is the basic baseline. That's the simple. You can do that sitting on a couch in your house, your home. You don't have to fold your hands. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to talk out loud. You can just think a prayer. And if it's from the heart, by faith, to God, that's a real prayer. And that's what Jesus had in mind. But sometimes we need to go beyond that. We need to seek. And when you seek, you're putting energy into it. You're looking, you're watching. Have you ever had, when you were ready to go out shopping someplace and you lost your purse or your billfold, and you looked around for it and you thought, I can't go out without that. Where did I leave that? And so you begin to search, and you're active, you're watching and you're looking, you're seeing, you're opening drawers, you're checking pockets, you're asking the people in the house, did you see this billfold, this purse? Seeking takes energy. Well, Jesus is saying, sometimes that's the way to receive. You keep pressing in, keep looking, keep watching, keep searching. And then the last one goes even beyond that, knocking. Yeah, very often when with our day of doorbells, if we happen to come to a place where the doorbell doesn't work or there isn't a doorbell, we usually three times, and we expect somebody to hear inside. But Jesus had a different idea when he talked about knocking. I think he was thinking of a different kind of knocking entirely, like the knocking that was done by that friend in the middle whose friend came at midnight, didn't have anything to put in front of him, so he went down the street to another friend. He started knocking on the door at midnight, and that friend inside said, "Hey, don't bother me now. My kids are asleep, and we're all together in the same room, and I don't want to get up and wake up the whole family." And what did he do? He just kept on knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, until finally he got up and gave it. And Jesus commended that person for his knocking. I love the words he uses there in the new NIV. It's he's commending him for his shameless audacity. Have you ever gone to God with shameless audacity? Kept on knocking? And that's what Jesus had in mind here. So that's the command. The command to ask continually for ourselves, persistently if need be. What's the promise? Very simple. You and I will receive. And notice that "will" is repeated three times in that first phrase. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. I like Jesus' way of repeating in order to emphasize. And again, the Heidelberg Catechism, God gives his grace and spirit only to those who continually ask, groaning inwardly. So not to ask is not to have. Not to seek is not to find. Not to knock is not to have the hall of God's riches, the storehouse of God's riches, be open to us. And so the point here is very simple. If you want to win over sin, ask. If you want to gain victories in life, ask. If you want to grow in grace and in knowledge, ask. If you want to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might and put on the full armor of God, ask. If you want to be filled with wisdom, ask. If you want to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, as we're challenged to do by scriptures, ask. Ask and you will receive. One other thing here to pick up on, and it's the word "everyone." Jesus must have thought, now some people are not going to take me all that seriously. They're going to think maybe God can't deliver on all these things. So he goes on a second time and he repeats those same thing, three things, and he said, "Everyone who asks receives." And the The meaning of the Greek here is everyone who knocks seeks will find, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Everyone. It's kind of amazing when you think of it. There are over a billion Christians in the world today. They say about 1.5 billion. If even 1 billion of them are authentic Christian, that's a pretty big number. What if tomorrow every one of those believers, including us, were to ask for 5 of these spiritual riches from God? Which would mean that God, true to his promise, would have to deliver 5 billion answers to prayer. Now, you think he could handle that? Well, yes. Yes, he is almighty. He is all wise. He is everywhere present. He wants us to have these things. Yes, he can handle 5 billion. And if you decide to make it 25 rather than 5, he can handle that too. Wow. Everyone, all 1 billion of us, can ask on any given day. And he's able, in his power and by his grace, to deliver. I love it, don't you? What a God. Well, Jesus wants us really to be convinced how great and good a giver the Father is. And so he goes on to add one more thing here about the giver. How much more, he summarizes that, will the Father in heaven give good gifts? More than who? Well, more than you earthly parents. You earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children. If they ask for a bread, you don't give them a stone. If they ask for a fish, you don't give them a snake. Jesus was very clever in his presentations. Take a 10 to 15 pound stone, kind of round it off. Looks exactly like the kind of loaf that Israeli women would have been making in that day. You don't give your kids a substitute and fool them and deceive them. If they ask for fish, which they really need, which is nutritious and good, you don't give them something that looks like a fish, but it's a snake, and that would be deadly and poisonous. No, you don't deceive your kids that way. Think of what good givers you have been as parents, those of you who've been parents and are parents now. You know, it costs about $250 million today to raise a child. You birthed them, you cradled them, you nursed them, you fed them, you clothed them, you warmed them, you changed their diapers, you drove them around, you paid their tuition, on and on and on and go. You're good parents. Jesus is saying, I know that. Let me tell you, the Father in heaven is a much more giver than even the best earthly parents. He's the world's best. If somehow we could identify the best set of parents this world knows today, just absolutely perfect, did everything right, kids turned out just wonderfully, multiply that times 1,000 and compare the Father. Father's giving, parenting as fathering would still be much, much more. The psalmist said, God is a sun and a shield. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And I love the words of Ezra in 2 Chronicles 16. He has us recognizing that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to make himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are right toward him. Thank you, Ezra. His eyes are focused on Sumas. His eyes are focused on the members of Sumas Christian Reformed Church. He's watching. He's listening. He's eager to have us ask. And if we ask in accord with his will, he's committed to make that promise, and he will work it out. We have so much to gain if we grasp this amazing concept. I love the way the Lord underscored his willingness and his capability and giving to his people when Israel was traveling through the wilderness, released from freedom, released from slavery in Egypt, and went through the wilderness. You know that story very well. Think of all that he did for over a million people in that 40-year period. First of all, he freed them from the slavery of Egypt in a miraculous way. Most powerful nation in the world, most powerful army out there to bring them back to slavery. And God puts a cloud in front of them, and then he walks them through the Red Sea on dry ground. And when the soldiers try to follow him, the army is drowned. So they have freedom from slavery. And then it won't be long before they run out of water, and water comes out of a rock. Some passages in the New Testament which suggest that rock and that water followed them for 40 years. And when they didn't have food to eat, he brought, how many birds did it take to feed 1.5 million people? And somehow they just fell on the ground all around them, and they had meat to eat. And then for 40 years they had that nutritionist manna. Must have been perfectly balanced nutrition to keep them for 40 years. And then when the enemies came, they didn't have much of an army. They were slaves. They didn't have many weapons. But they had Moses up on the hillside and with hands uplifted praying, and Aaron and Hur there with them. And God gave them victory over the Amalekites. And when it got to be 130 degrees, which it can be in the Sinai Desert, God put a cloud over them, brought the temperatures down by maybe 20, 30 degrees. And when they needed light, there was the light of that cloud. I like to think of a little 6-year-old boy or girl waking up in the middle of the night and crawling out the flap of the tent and looking up in the sky and thinking, that's my God up there. Wow. And then better than that, Jesus, God came to live in the tent right in their midst, and he talked to them and he led them and he showed them the way, and he provided for 1.5 million people who had nothing, no resources whatever for 1.5 million years. That's the kind of giver God the Father is. Amazing. The world's best. And think of what he's given us. Freedom from the guilt of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. New life, like the resurrection life of Jesus coming forth from the grave. Pardon as we stand before the throne, the judgment seat. Adoption into the family of God. The Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. United with Christ, abiding in him and he in us so we can bear much fruit. On and on and on and on we could go, talking about the things he has done for us and is willing to do as we keep on asking. Every good and perfect gift, said James, comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Ask, and this great, much more giving Father is there to deliver. And the last thing to say is, look to the heart of God then, and you will see that there is enough of everything. As he answers, there's enough of his love, there's enough of his mercy, there's enough of his power, there's enough of his wisdom to be able to give in accord with his promise. The last thing we focus on here then are simply the good gifts. Jesus underscores that here when he says, how much more does the Father in heaven give good gifts? Gifts that are good for us. Spiritual riches. I think I know why Jesus put this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You see, he had just finished this incredible sermon, and boy, he set the bar really high. I mean, he challenged us in this sermon to be salt and light to the world, to be able to deal with anger and impure thoughts, to be able to love our enemies and pray for those who would persecute us. He challenged us not to worry about anything, even to have a righteousness beyond that of the scribes and Pharisees. And I can imagine there were people standing around kind of wringing their hands and thinking, how can we ever live up to this huge challenge that the Lord is giving us? It's too much. Jesus understood it was too much. He said, there is one way, though, that you can live up to the standards of the Sermon on the Mount. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. You can do it with my strength. You can't do it in your own strength. You can do it in my strength. And I love the way Paul put it, this same concept, when he said, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessed us with holiness, blessed us with grace, blessed us with wisdom, with understanding, with joy, with peace, with the Holy Spirit, on and on and on. When I understood this concept, when there was a time when I decided to see how many gifts I could find in the scripture that were on this spiritual riches list. And I began to make, they got longer and longer and longer. It was well beyond 100. Wow. Yeah, he will deliver on all, every spiritual blessing in Christ. And Peter put it this way, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And then right after that, he talks about, but you've got to make some decisions, you folks of mine. You've got faith, but add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and yeah, every one of those things we need for life and godliness. So what if in the next week you asked for more joy, more peace, more grace, more faith? What if you asked for more spiritual wisdom, insight, and understanding? What if you asked for more victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil? What if you asked for more holiness and fruitfulness and godliness? What would happen? God's telling us this morning what will happen. He will deliver. Always in his own time and in his own way, which is always the best way. May not always fit our idea of how it should come, but yes, he will. For he is truly good. I agree to grant is the actual translation of that Greek word here. Let me caution you. The devil doesn't want you to ask. Or me. You see, he can't keep the Father from giving us those gifts. So his only out is to keep us from asking. And if Calvin is correct, and I think he is, that God doesn't promise us anything that he doesn't require us to ask for. And the devil is saying, and he's teaching his minions and his principalities and powers, keep those folks from asking. Oh, if they want to ask for other kinds of things, you know, things they don't need, things that are related to the world and the flesh and all that, that's all right, that's all right. Don't have them asking, though, for the spiritual riches. The devil's strategy is to keep us focused so much on what the world offers, huh? The fun, the pleasure, the comforts, the material blessings. He has us responding to 5,000 ad images a day that come to us through the media. And if he can have us focused on those things instead of on the things that God knows we need, wants us to have, promises to give, then he's got us in his hand. Be aware of that. Don't let your time get frittered away with the television, with the iPhone, with all the ads, with all the worldly stuff that keeps coming at us more and more, it seems like, today than ever before. Focus on God's gifts, his heart, and ask him for them. And let me close by reminding you that the best gift of all is a single one, the gift of salvation. And if you wonder how you can be absolutely sure, my guess is that 98% of you here this morning are sure of your faith. But in case you're not, or in case you want a simple way to share with others this beginning gift, let me give you the simple ABCs. A stands for admit. B stands for believe. And C stands for commit. Kind of like sin, salvation, and service, isn't it? Admit that you have ignored God, shunned God, failed God, been independent of God, not thought much of God, not asked much of God. Admit the sin. Always a starting point. That's why John the Baptist came before Jesus, to call people to that step, admit. And then believe. Believe he's there. Believe he's trustworthy. Believe his promises are true. Believe his promise will be true for you if you claim it. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That's the believe. Admit, believe, and then commit. Yeah, there needs to be that follow through. Because you're not just getting to heaven. You're committing to a walk, a Christian life, to serve him in this world, to glorify the Father's name, advance his kingdom, build his church, accomplish his will. Admit, believe, commit. Anyone, everyone who does that has the first and best gift, the gift of faith. Don't stop there, though. We're asked to build on that by making decisions to keep on growing, to keep on adding, to keep on asking, and to become more and more godly, Christ-like, spirit-filled. To have more and more of his love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness. To win over the devil again and again and again. God has made an incredible promise. Through his son Jesus, who preached a sermon that we've reflected on this morning. You going to take him at his word? Yours for the asking. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we want to pick up on the plan of asking and receiving that your son Jesus announced so clearly and so simply and so resoundingly in that Sermon on the Mount. And we pray that you will strengthen us with power through your Spirit. We pray that you will fill us with the knowledge of your will. We pray that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. We pray that you will clothe us with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and forbearance and love. We pray that you will add to our faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and brotherly affection and love and all the rest. We pray that you will fill us with the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and all the rest. We pray that you would help us to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Make us godly, righteous, faithful, fruitful. Thank you for the promise you made. Give us now the faith to lay claim to that promise and to go on growing in Christ. Being filled with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us this message through your sermon. In your name we pray. Amen.